Good evening to you all. Good to have you here. Good to have some Lockhart people here. Yeah. We're the Lockhart folks. Yeah. Yeah. San Marcos people. Any other villages or burgs represented? Kyle, Wimberley, Seguin. Okay. Well, glad you're here, everybody. Tonight's first Wednesday worship, June, and I want to talk to you just for a little bit about things. I want to call this things that need to be said. And it's not really a sermon. That looks really official and important. I'm not going to preach tonight. I'm just going to talk, really. Tomorrow is our 14th birthday. 14th. June the 8th, 2003, we kicked off here in San Marcos. If there are any kids that want to go out to children's ministry, you can make a run for it now. We have some folks that can take them. We didn't officially dismiss the kids, but they can be dismissed now, and you don't even have to come to the front. You can just go out the back. God bless you. That's our prayer for you tonight. Yeah, just head out the back there. Yolanda, can you help them find a point? Oh, there's Jennifer right there. Jennifer's on this side. There we go. Yeah, so June the 8th, 2003, that was the first Sunday that I was the pastor here at Promised Land, and there was about 50 of us that gathered that night in Texas State at the Alkeck Teaching Theater. And who all here was there that day? The Brodowskis, the Ramos, the Steels, the Krauses, you were not there. Why did you raise your hand? You were not there. No, you weren't. You weren't there yet. You're there in spirit. How many there were? Y'all were there in spirit. Y'all just weren't there in the. Yeah. And we have, had this church for 14 years now. Tomorrow, technically, June 8th was a Sunday back then. Next year, on our 15th birthday, I'm sure we will plan some big celebration for our 15th birthday. That'll be a big day. Anyway, happy birthday to you. You're now 14 years old as a church. You are the church. And so that needs to be said. And as pastor, I'm thankful. Thankful to be here. I'm thankful to have made it 14 years. I'm thankful for you putting up with me, learning how to be a pastor for the last 14 years. And so honored to be the pastor here, one of the pastors here now. And my wife is at a birth right now, so she could make it tonight. She's a midwife. For those of you that don't know that, she goes to 2 to 3 births a month. And every once in a while, they just happen to land on a church service time. So she's not here tonight. But anyway, I have been talking to our elders, and I've been talking to our overseers. And so in our church, we have a pastoral council, we call it. Those are the pastors in the church that are on staff, and they are here throughout the week, and they're paid. And to be on the pastoral staff. And so that'd be me, Will, Mike, Michael, Lacey, Albert, and there's other staff that are on here too. But so that's the pastoral staff. That's really hands-on daily work. Then we have a board of elders, or trustees, if you want to call them that. But these are men in the church that are not pastors, but they follow the category in Titus 2, of being an elder in the church. So we have 4 elders in the church: Pete Garcia, Santiago Alfaro, Laddie Brodowski, and Rob Steele, my dad. Those are the four elders of the church, and they are here to support me and the other pastors and to offer counsel and advice and give wisdom. And originally the four men were appointed by the founding pastor of the church, Kenneth Phillips. He was the founding pastor for 4 months, and then he turned it over to me. And he appointed four guys as elders, and three of those have moved on, and we have four now that we've replaced them with. And then we have what's called overseers. Overseers are pastors that are not a part of this church. They pastor other churches, but they are a part of our governing body of, we call them overseers. And I personally talk with them and meet with them personally, and they are here to help. There's three of them: Kenneth Phillips, Randy Phillips, and John Ragsdale now is an official overseer of our church. So if something were to happen to me, the overseers would step in and help the elders and pastors select a new senior pastor. If there's some sort of conflict in the church that's of big nature, always reach out to the elders first, talk to them, reach out to the overseers. We have some really, really special people involved in the leadership of this church. So whenever a big decision is made, I always call on those people to help me make that decision. We also have an advisory council. We call it our business committee. And our business committee are business-minded men and women, gifted in business and management, that help us oversee the budget and the finances of the church. So we meet with them like once a quarter, show them all the money that comes in and goes out. We talk about the budget, and if there's any other legal type questions or business related questions, that business committee will review everything and then give us recommendations for the pastors to make decisions on. So I actually didn't plan on telling you all this stuff, but I guess it needs to be said, so I'm telling you tonight. Anyway, I started talking to you about that because I've been talking to the elders and the overseers about Eric and I taking an extended break this summer. And so they agree, the elders and the overseers agree to this. And so Erica and I are going to be taking a 40-day sabbatical this summer. And it's going to be starting July 7th, and it will go to the 13th of August. So during that time, you will not see me. I'm going off the grid. In fact, we're going out of state for a couple weeks. But we will be back, and it's not because I'm mad or I'm burned out or there's any sort of problems. It's because I don't want to be mad, and I don't want to be burned out, and I don't want there to be any problems. That's why. And so I'm thankful for it. I believe it's going to be a refreshing time. You know, Jesus began his ministry with that. And he operated 3.5 years from a place of that 40-day journey. So I'm looking forward to that. Pastor Will is going to be, for those 40 days, the acting senior pastor of the church. And I'm going to leave all the details of everything to them, and the church is going to be led by our incredible leadership team of people, and I'm believing that when I get back in August, it's going to be stronger than when I left. That's completely up to you. So, all right. Several weeks ago, I was talking to Erica, and I was talking to her about someone we hadn't seen for several months here at Promised Land, a member, said, we just haven't seen them in a few months, and tried to reach out to them, couldn't get a hold of them, and finally talked to them. And in the conversation, they just kind of nonchalantly said, yeah, we're going to another church now. And it's a good church that they're going to. Love the pastor. But, yeah, it was like no big deal to them. We're going to this other church. And I was like, really? Okay. And got off the phone, and I was really hurt. I was really upset. And the reason I was upset was not because they went to another church. That's not why. The reason I was upset was because I had spent hours praying for this person and their family, counseling with them, crying with the staff, literally, for them, and performed their wedding, invested so much into them emotionally, spiritually, time away from family and all that. And then for them just to just go somewhere else without saying anything made me mad and hurt me, because I thought, you don't have any idea what we have done for you and what we have invested in you. And you have no clue. I was telling Erica that, and she said, people need to know that. People need to know what you do for them. People need to hear that it matters what they do. So tonight, things that need to be said. All right, you matter. You probably should take notes. You matter. First of all, your needs matter. Your needs matter. I want you to know that we really do pray for you when you ask for prayer. And we may not tell you that we prayed and give you a detailed list of where I prayed for you and how I prayed for you and all that, but you need to know that we actually pray for you when you ask for prayer. Mike, can you turn that air conditioner warmer? I care about your temperature. You need to know that. Things you need to know. There's just so much. There's so much emotional energy expended for the church. And I'm not complaining about that at all. I love it. That's my job. That's what I was born to do. I'm not saying I'm mad about that. I want to do that. I like to do that. I get stronger because of that, but I want you to know that it's not trite and it's not just a cliche, God bless you, we're praying for you. No, we actually do that. You really matter. Your needs matter. The second thing is your presence matters. You being here on Sunday morning matters. Even if you're not scheduled to serve, it matters that you come to church. Because we need you here. You think, well, I'm not doing anything. Yes, you are. You're here. That's doing something. That's filling a seat. That's raising your hands. That's praying. That's hugging a neck. That's bringing the spirit that God has, that is flowing through you. That's bringing your gifts and your presence. Just being here matters. So I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're here. But I want you to know that it matters that you're here. So thank you for getting here after work, missing dinner, you know, all the excuses that you had, trains that you waited behind, all that kind of stuff. You had to fill the car up with gas. You're going to get home late tonight. Thank you for coming. It matters. It matters to someone else that you're here. You don't realize how important you really are. You being here changes the environment. And you're like that thermostat. You really are. We are like, everybody that's in here is a thermostat. And you change the atmosphere by being here. So thank you. It matters. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. We won't talk about them because they're not here tonight, but some people neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That's written for us. His return is drawing near. Your presence matters. Number three, your communication matters. You know, we don't follow up on everybody that misses on Sunday because, I don't know if you realize this or not, but there's about 2,000 people that call this their church home. But you know, there's not that many that come on Sunday because of work, because of sickness, because of travel, because of habits or whatever. Only about 1,000 to 1,200 people come to this campus and the Lockhart campus. And so, if there's 2,000 people that call this their church home, and there's only 1,300 that attend on Sunday, then it's impossible for us to make 700 phone calls every week to check up on people. Hey, hi, we missed you. How are you doing? Where were you? We're losing people. Is this too much? Is this, y'all right? Okay, just checking. I mean, I saw people leaving over here. We got people leaving over here. Checking. All right. Your presence matters. Your communication matters. Just checking. Pastor notices when you're gone. All right. I just want you to know, Pastor knows. So, let me present this to you. It's actually your responsibility to tell us when you're not going to be here. Pastor, I'm going on vacation. Just want you to know we're not going to be there. Okay, that's great. I'll pray for you. Have fun. We're going to pray that you have an anointed vacation, that nothing goes wrong at work while you're gone, that you have a safe journey, that your kids don't get sick. I mean, we're going to lift you up because vacation is important. Go on vacation. That's awesome. But let us know, because if we don't know, then we don't know where you're at, number one, and number two, we can't pray for you. If you're sick, if you have to work or whatever, let us know. Not because we're sitting up on this stool going, you shouldn't be gone, and why are you, that's not the point at all. The point is because this is family, and we talk to each other. Your communication matters. Do you know how many thousands of emails and phone calls and text messages and all the things that we do, we send out all the time, out, and so we're sending messages out, personal ones and mass ones, group things, individual things, letting you know stuff. So we want to hear back from you. And sometimes I hear people say, "Oh, we didn't want to bother you." No, this is my job. This is what I do. I hear from you. That's what I do. That's why I'm here full time. Because that's what you're not bothering me. Oh, people that want to come meet with me or talk to me, people say, we want to take you out to dinner, but we know you're so busy. No. That's not true. So many nights, Erica and I sit at home. It's so lonely. I see pictures of all y'all at Taco Cabana. Nobody invited me. Okay, so please just give us a chance to tell you no or yes, okay? Really, your communication is very important to us. Please, it's not bothering us to to ask us to pray for you. It's not bothering us for us to sit with you and counsel with you and talk to you and pray. That's what we do. We're honored to do that. Okay, your communication matters in conflict resolution. So conflicts are going to happen at Promised Land. Disagreements are going to happen at church. They will happen. All right, because we're people, especially with a church as diverse as Promised Land, conflicts are going to happen. We have all different races. We have different age groups. We have different political parties, affiliations. We have people that have been in church all their life. We have people that have just walked into church for the first time. There's so many different ideas and ideologies and pasts and presents and futures that there's going to be conflict. And so our communication matters in that conflict resolution. The solution is not to simply leave, but the solution is to deal with it. And Jesus gives us the model for that in Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 15th verse. If another believer sins against you, go to Facebook and tell the world how you disagree. Wait a minute. Did I get that? Here's another one. If you don't like what's happening at Promised Land, take a prayer card out and write a vicious response to whatever's happening on a prayer card, so that as the pastor is going through the prayer cards, praying and interceding for people, he will pick out your card where you viciously attack how upset you are that the church, how dare you put up ropes in the church? How dare you? You must stop this practice. 5 exclamation points. We got that last week. I'm going to pray for you right now, because there's obviously, you talk about like a first world problem. Have y'all heard that, first world? You're so upset. Okay, so this is what Jesus actually said. This is the real version. If another believer sins against you, go privately. Everybody say privately.
Privately.
Go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by 2 or 3 witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, then take your case to the church. Bring it to us. Bring it to me. Bring it to the pastors. Let's try to resolve it. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. All right, so that's Jesus' words on how to deal with conflict. It's not on Facebook. And I think really any sort of email, text message, anything like that can be so misunderstood that dealing with conflict electronically with technology, that's not the way to do it. In person, and at the very least on a phone call, so that you can at least hear tone of voice, and there you respond completely different when you're in person and when you're listening to tone of voice, right? And seeing expression, things like that. That's why Jesus said that. Okay, here's the next thing. Your giving matters. So don't stop giving to the local church. Every amount matters. I talked a little bit about this earlier, but the budget, we have a budget here. And in the summer months, it gets tough, it gets tight. I just wanted to let you know, your giving matters. Maybe you give, maybe 10% for you is $30 a month, or $50 a month, or $100 a month. That matters. That giving matters. So don't stop giving financially. It matters. God has a lot that he's going to do, but every bit of it happens through the conduit of people's obedience. God can do anything he wants, any way he wants, but he created the world in such a way that he flows through the obedience of people. So as obedient as the people are, the flow of God is going through that conduit of obedience. And so so you may not think that it's a important or a significant thing. It doesn't matter. I'm here to tell you, it matters. So your needs, your presence, your communication, your giving matters. Let me close with this. You know, we spend most of our time trying to get people to join the church because joining the church is so important. Being a part of a church family is so important because you're around people, you're a part of something that's bigger than you are, you're hearing the word taught, you're learning things, you're being corrected, you're stepping out of culture and into the word. And so being a part of a church family is vitally important. It is scriptural. It's biblical. That's something we talk about every time we have a Next Steps night, is that the Bible actually assumes that you're in a local church as it's talking to you. As you're reading the Bible, it assumes that you're in a local church. There's a lot of things that you could never benefit from in the Bible if you're not a part of a local church, because that's just the framework of a believer, is that you're a part of a group of people that are going together toward God. That's just, and it doesn't have to be this big. It can be smaller than this. Obviously, there's a lot of powerful churches that are not as big as Promised Land that are smaller. It doesn't matter. So what I'm going to spend just a few last few minutes on tonight, instead of talking to you about joining the church, because, I mean, we spend 99.99% of our time trying to get people to join the church, that we never teach you how to leave a church. So I'm going to spend a few minutes talking to you about how to leave a church. Okay, y'all ready for this? Here's the first way you leave a church. You die. That's the first way you leave a church. That's actually the best way to leave a church. You die. This is inevitable. It's painful when we lose people, when they die. And at Promised Land, in 14 years, we have lost some people via death that were pillars of the faith. And I miss them. I miss Jane Murray. And I miss Noel Rodriguez. And I miss Steve Ketchum and Roland and many other people that have passed away and children that have passed away in our church. It's painful, but those people that I mentioned, the first few that I mentioned, they left in death in a positive way. And there's actually, you can actually do that. You can actually leave in a positive way by making, first of all, by making arrangements. Not necessarily, I'm not saying you have to like go to a funeral home and pay them in advance and all that, but at least, you know, talk to your family about what you would like to happen, have a will. I'm just telling you that this is important stuff, because I've dealt with quite a few deaths where there was no will. There was no money left for burial, and it was just very difficult to help the kids and the family through that. So I want to encourage you. Proverbs 13:22 says that a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And so that's not just necessarily money, but a spiritual inheritance as well. So passing that on. All right, so you die. That's one way you leave the church. The second way is when you move. And so if you're moving out of town, out of state, please let us know. You know, tell us that you're moving. That's a great way to leave the church. Tell us that you're leaving. And here's what I want to go to a step further. Talk to us before you make the decision to move. Talk to a spiritual leader that wants to be a part of your life, that's eager to talk to you about, is this move what I should do? You know, the Bible says that there's wisdom in the counsel of many, and out of the mouth of two or three, let everything be established. We read in Matthew 18, you know, take two or three, let it be confirmed by two or three witnesses. So why not go to your spiritual leader and say, hey, there's this job opportunity. We're thinking about retiring at the coast. We're thinking about, you know, and come let us pray about it with you. And man, the people that have done that, that have left, I think about my brother-in-law and sister when they left and they came 6 months in advance and said, hey, we feel like God's calling us to Nashville. I think about Chad and Mel Robertson. Some of y'all remember them. They came to me 3 or 4 months before they thought about moving. Hey, we're thinking about moving to San Angelo area to go back to be with our family. And so, man, what an honor it was to just pray with them. And then when they left, for us to send them off and to bless them and to encourage them on their journey. And so it's okay to move away from San Marcos. We want everybody to stay, but we understand this is a college town. It's a very transient type town where there's not a lot of high-paying jobs here, so a lot of people move off. So talk to us. Those of you in Lockhart, you know, if you're moving from Lockhart, go talk to the Hollyfield. Sit down with them and let them pastor you, you know, in that move. The third way is when you go to another church locally, another church locally. And so this is another thing that we highly encourage you to come talk to us about. Please come tell us. We're family. You know, we're not. If you come tell us, hey, we feel like we should go to this other church, we're going to bless you. We're going to send you off. And unless there's like 3 or 4 churches in the area that I would say, you know what, before you do that, I would really encourage you to pray about that some more. Theology may be a little weird. Pastor may be a little weird. Majority of the churches we would bless and say, you know, go for it. The door is open for you to always come back. I mean, we just had Bobby Joe and Rose Villanueva come sit down, talk to us, and they felt like God had called them to go help a church out in Rio or Redwood area. I was like, man, that's so great. Go help them. That's awesome. We prayed for them. You're always welcome here. I think they were here last night at the Bible. That's great. Sometimes what we'll do, if that is their choice, if that's your choice to go, we'll say, you know what, you probably shouldn't come back here for a while, because if you are going to go to that other church, you need to give them 100% of yourself. And so if you keep coming back here, like, I kind of want to go to both. No, that's not a good idea, because you're not giving either family 100% of yourself. If you feel called to the other church, go. Right? If that's what God's calling you to do, jump in 100% over there, give it all you got. And then if for some reason you just blew it and got it wrong and it wasn't God, you can come on back. But when you come back, you're 100% here too, okay? So come talk to us about it. Ann Griffith emailed me a couple months ago. Hey, I have Phil called to go help a church in Kyle. We thanked her so much. She was here for 13 years. God, Ann, that's amazing to be in a church for 13 years. This other church is blessed to have you. Go, you know, serve over there. The door's open for you to come back. Y'all got this so far? The fourth thing is the sad one. That's when you leave because you just simply fade away. We used to call this backsliding, right? Just backslide. This is the worst situation. I know you're not going to call and say, hey, pastor, I just want you to know I'm backsliding. I'm not coming. There's no real good way to backslide. There's no appropriate or proper way to do that. And I want to say that probably, I don't know the scientific calculation for this or whatever, but probably 75% of the people that stop coming here fade away. And it's not that they're going to another church. It's not that they're moved. They just, life has gotten busy. They had a new baby. They have a new grandbaby. They got a new job. They started driving somewhere else to work far off, and they get home late. You know, just stuff like that. And so, you guys know that Promised Land's an open door. We love for everybody to come in here, and we pray that Jesus converts and changes people to make them more like him every day. We have people that come to Promised Land once a year. But if you were to, you know, overhear a conversation of theirs at a grocery store and someone asked them where they go to church, they'd say Promised Land. Or you meet somebody, you've got your Promised Land shirt on. Oh, I go there too. Oh, really? I've never seen you. That happens to me all the time. Or they'll say, are you Pastor Robin? Yeah. Oh, well, I come. I just sit in the back all the time. I've never really seen you up close. All right, would y'all stand with me? Let's pray. It's an honor, man. It's an honor. It's an honor to do it. So I want to pray. I don't know. Some of y'all may needed to hear just one thing tonight, or maybe you needed all of it, or maybe you didn't think you needed any of it, but you really do. So let's pray that God softens your heart. And as we dismiss, we have cut up a ton of watermelon. I just had a piece before I came over. It's really good. It's over in the student center, so you can just make your way over there. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, what a beautiful thing Promised Land is, and you get all the credit and honor and glory for it. God, we just thank you for 14 years, God. Thank you for blessing us with 14 years. Thank you for giving us this resource in San Marcos. God, I pray specifically for everybody in the room here tonight. And I want to narrow that down to the people that are here tonight from our Lockhart campus. What an infant that is. Like a little baby. That Lockhart campus is so tender and so sensitive. I just pray for all those folks right now, God. I pray that their roots would begin to grow, that stability would begin to set in, that consistency would begin to settle in, that the people that attend there would begin to sense the need and the responsibility and the blessing that being a part of a local church is. And God, all the people here in our San Marcos campus that are on the edge and they're kind of waffling around, God, let them just be enamored with your presence and your love, and let them fall in love with the church family, with the bride of Christ. That when they see Promised Land, they would see that it's a beautiful thing, that the bride of Christ is something to be welcomed and to be a part of. God, I pray in Jesus' name that all of this will build your kingdom, that will be living according to your will and your plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed. Hang out as long as you'd like. We love you.